This is a mini-sode where I'm thinking about one topic that's coming up in my life or in the life of multiple, in this case, many people in our community. And in, let's call it under 15 minutes, we look at it from a few different angles. So for today, I wanted to give you some strategies to find time for your health. I have noticed after years of working with hundreds, if not thousands of women, that we always put our own health last. We are such caregivers. We are such workhorses. We want to do good by everybody, our kids' schools, our relationships, our work in the world, our clients. And oftentimes that means we put our own health by the wayside and not always intentionally. And then what happens is that the list sort of starts to pile up. And in the people we serve in flow, a lot of times women are entering their perimenopausal phase or postmenopausal phase, right? So we're 40, 50, 60 years old. And it's just, there's a lot of health details all of a sudden, and yet we haven't practiced making time for health. This actually also comes up when people are a bit younger. I'm just thinking of a bunch of people trying to get pregnant right now, right? So there's like these moments, these places in our life where it's like we need the time and we don't have practice taking the time for ourselves and for our health in this way. So I have found that health, work, family, home, they're all part of our identity. And traditionally, we don't look at them all together. We don't even like these days, even if we are talking health, if we go to a doctor, like one doctor doesn't even necessarily know what the other doctor does. So it makes sense that we've compartmentalized things and that we know what we're doing for work in one place and we know how we're interacting with our family in another place. And maybe if we're lucky, we have a list of all our health stuff, but often it's just swirling around in our head and it's overwhelming. And it causes us to just freeze and not be able to move. And the other thing that often happens is it makes us be kind of mean to ourselves. And it's like health is meant to make us, or, you know, if we're tending to our health, we're doing it to make ourselves feel better. And we're starting by making ourselves feel bad that we're behind, that we don't know this stuff already, that we're, you know, 50 years old and we don't know how to feed ourselves or meal plan well. And we have all of these stories and it makes it harder to take the next step forward. So I highly believe in everything I'm about to share. And this is like sort of strategy zero is step one can sometimes be just talk to yourself like you would to a friend. If somebody came and said, Mia, I need to get a mammogram and I just can't seem to make the space. What would you tell them? Right? Like I'm using myself as the example, but let's say I came to you and said, hey, I need to get a mammogram. What should I do? It's just so hard. What would you tell me back? Right? You would not be mean to me. You would not be like, why are you so behind, Mia? Why haven't you done this? Like, what were you thinking? It's so destructive to do this. And these are the kind of stories that are going on in our head, right? It sounds ludicrous as I'm saying it out loud. So just that first step, I think, is just awareness. Like, how can I be talk to myself even a little kinder about my health as I tend to myself? Okay, so here's for the strategies I was planning on sharing. So number one is go slowly. Let me think of a good example on this one. So let's say that you have a goal of meal planning. Like that's your goal. You want to become really good at meal planning and feeding yourself really great food. So going from being somebody who is always sort of frazzled in the kitchen, doesn't always make great choices, orders a lot of takeout, doesn't feel confident in the kitchen, never meal plans, hates the whole thing around meals, goes out a lot. Going from that person, which may or may not be all of you, to somebody who can plan healthy meals 7 days a week is like a big jump. I just want to say that, like give you permission. Like that's a big jump. And when it comes to that and other health changes, oftentimes what happens is like we have this desire, like we just want to get healthy today. So then it's like, oh, well, I could meal plan and I could just eat really healthy. And that, so I'm going to meal plan really healthy meals. And it sounds really good, but it's a big jump and it's not sustainable. And when we think about health, like think about this. If you're needing to think about your health right now, you're going to keep needing to think about your health all the way to the end. In fact, I would say that as we get closer and closer to the end, we actually have to think about it more, which is, I think, why it comes up for a lot of us sort of like midlife. It's like we haven't had to think about it as much right now, and it's starting to creep in that we need to think about it more. So it needs to be sustainable. It needs to be for the long haul. There's nothing to solve now that's going to make you not have to think about your health when you're 80. That's just not how it works. So what if you move slowly with this meal plan thing? What if you just committed to knowing the day before what you were going to eat the next day? What would that be like, right? So it's just before you go to bed, you write down the things. Maybe that's how it starts. And then like the next week, you notice like, cool, I did that. And I don't know, 70% of the time I actually did what I said I would do, and the other 30 I didn't. So our instinct is to want to like do more, but really what we need to do is figure out how to like meal plan the day before and eat what we say we're going to eat the next day, right? And then move on and see what happens next. So then maybe I can get a little bit smarter about using that knowledge to make it easier to make food the next day. So maybe it means that in the morning when I'm making my breakfast, I prep my lunch and I get a little bit ahead on dinner. We call that moving food forward around here. And you know, maybe then I start to realize patterns and I can plan a couple days at a time. And instead of going to the store almost every day, I can stay away for 3 days in a row, right? So it's like, how do we build on this so that it becomes something that we can do over and over and over again instead of a quick fix, which is how a lot of us have been served up health, quick fixes. Okay, here's another one. Spend time, yes, time that you may not feel you have, believing that health makes a difference. So my favorite way to do this is whenever I'm doing a plan for 90 days, for a year, for a month, I spend time thinking about myself 5 to 10 years out. And I do not do this every 5 years. I literally do this every month because as I live a month, my imagination shifts to what I even think is possible 5 to 10 years from now. And actually, as far as health goes, on the last episode, Marie Claire shared to think about how you wanted to be when you were 90. Is that what she said? 90? Maybe she said 80. I don't know. I think she said 90. And I just found that fascinating because oftentimes people in their 40s and 50s love my 5 to 10 year exercise. And then there's this like moment at 60 where people start to hate it. And here Mary Claire was being like, think about 90. And it's like, yeah, if I'm here at 90, what do I want? Like, I want my brain to be working. I want to be able to like bend over. Like, and it really puts perspective on why it's so important to tend to all of this now. So spend time believing that it makes a difference by really connecting to your future. Another way that you can spend time believing that health makes a difference is when you're thinking about your week or a set of goals or a project that might be more work-based or home-based. Think about how your health can support that, right? So let's say that I'm launching a website. Well, how could my health support that? What do I need? Like, what would be the healthiest way to do that? Right? There might have been a time where I stayed up too late. There might have been a time when I stared at a screen too long and didn't drink enough water. Like maybe it's about getting outside. Like what is the answer that would help support that? And how can I see that connection? And so the more and more I draw that connection, the more and more it becomes bigger than just doing this task list, right? It's like, we've got to get out of that mentality of this is just another thing on our list of tasks that is too long and we're dreading. Health is different than that. It's like we're giving to ourselves. It's not about taking. All right, here's another one. Spend time learning how to trust yourself. So often we like give away our health to doctors, to magazines, to Instagram. And I'm not saying don't listen to doctors. Doctors can be very smart. But actually, we just had an instance in our household. I'm going to give you a whole update on my health next week, but I'll give you a little tidbit for my daughter. She was so clear that she had a pain in a very specific place in her back. And we went to 3 doctors who all told her she was wrong. That's not where you feel back pain and that hips wouldn't hurt on that side of her body. And they sent her to get imaging and all the things. And finally, someone was like, you know what? We're just hitting the edge of it. The MRI people were like, we need to go lower. We think this is lower. So she had really trusted herself and she had spoken up and she was not met, which I hear all the time from women. So really learning to trust ourselves and to advocate for ourselves, I think is so, so important. And it's not always about doctors. Sometimes it's about like trusting that we can stop working or trusting that it's okay to eat a yummy salad with the most delicious protein on it and skip the cake, not because we're depriving ourselves, but because we're like feeding our future, right? So trusting you, and you might at some point tell you to eat the cake because joy is more important right now. Like joy is a more important index, and only we know this about ourselves. So what do you need now? This is just a really powerful question to ask yourself often. What do I need right now? So 14 years ago, I asked myself this, and it was like a huge change on the horizon. I had this moment, I've told my coffee cup story before, and I just knew I needed to change something big. Thank goodness I went slowly, and I kept getting the next appropriate step. So I went to a yoga class. I really loved the teacher. She told me a way that I might consider eating. It felt so true to me. And then she gave me a path that I could handle. But it was really that checking in of like, oh, this feels so true to me. And I was able to make a huge change, I think, because I really understood that it was for me and it wasn't like another fad. It wasn't like another thing that I thought I had to do. It was something I really wanted to do. And mind you, just because I wanted to do it doesn't mean that it was always easy and that I wanted to do every move, but the big thing I wanted to step into. And so that made each step a little bit easier. I coasted for a long time. I didn't need to focus on food. And then I think it was 2 years ago, I just was feeling the impact of all the hormone changes that happened. And I knew I needed to refocus. I knew I wasn't eating the exact same way I was 14 years ago. I eat really clean, but I just knew there was like this next level of dialing it in. And I doubled down and worked with my friend Tess, who you'll hear from actually later this week. And I did her 60-day reset and it made me feel so good. And I really listened to myself. And one of the things I did was like, it's a really, have a lot of people in flow who do her program and it's amazing. It's like an amazing program. And it's like a master's degree in nutrition. And it's a lot. And so it was a lot for me the time that I jumped into it because it was right after COVID. One of my kids was really struggling and it was too much to do it all. So I picked a piece and I leaned in and I did the work to like not feel guilty and all the things. And it made a big difference. I really listened to me. And then a couple months ago, I was like, Mia, you got to move. And I really listened to me. And it hasn't been easy to up my movement in the way that I have, but it gave me a focus. Like I trusted that that was what I needed. So really trusting us, like getting the confidence to do that is hugely helpful. And it just takes practice. It's just about practicing. Okay, two more. So clearly we're not going to be under 15 minutes, but we're going to try to be close. So the next one is anchoring our health in time. So I talk about this often and it makes so much sense that like if I want to write a book, I have to, maybe I would choose to write a chapter a week. Right? And I would put that in my calendar because it's a book. But it's really important to anchor all things in time, especially our health, because it's not something we actually do. So we might put a doctor's appointment in time because we don't want to miss it. But how can we do the things that aren't about us showing up for somebody else? They're about us showing up for us. So for me, actually, even related to a doctor's appointment, it might be like the hour before, not having a client call so that I can really get centered and be on time and show up and advocate for myself and really like listen to myself and what I need at that appointment. It might be about putting my, right now I found this amazing thing. So I told you that I was upping my movement. And so my movement for the past couple of years has been like, okay, a 20-minute walk, a 20-minute YouTube yoga practice. Like it's been a lot of like 10 and 20-minute situations that add up over the course of the day. And I'll give you more on my like behind the scenes next week. But I was supposed to walk the Camino with my daughter this May, and we are not because she is injured. But I've been training and I'm going to continue doing it a bit. But in order to train to walk the Camino in Spain, you have to like be able to get up to walking like 6 hours at a time. Well, at first I was like, who has 6 hours? But pretty quickly in the training, you had to be at 90 minutes and 2 hours. And so I've sort of stayed there. And it was like a year ago, I could barely figure out how to have a 20-minute walk. And now it's like time practically bends when you anchor things in time, because I can totally get my 2 hours in and sometimes get more work than I used to get done. It really doesn't make sense logically to the mind, but I promise you that anchoring in things in time really helps. So big things, I anchor my calendar right along with podcast interviews and client calls goes my 2-hour walk and my yoga class, right? There's a lot of little things though that happen in health, like little habits, like taking supplements and drinking a glass of water and all these little things. So I use our habit tracker that's in our planner to really break out the little things. And sometimes what I'll do is if I'm really working on something, I'll set alarms. Like this week in flow, somebody is trying to drink a lot of water. And I said, well, what if you just set 4 alarms, like from your phone, that just go off during the day, a nice ring, maybe a waterfall or like some sort of water sound. And it just reminds you to take a few sips. That's anchoring in time. Our habit tracker is anchoring in time because it has all the days of the week. And so you're deciding which days you want. Oftentimes, if you have a bunch of habits, then you have to go figure out a big block of time to do them. But the habit tracker really anchors it in time. If you want one and you don't have the planner, head over to Instagram, by the way, and look for the post that goes with this episode and put tracker in the comments. In fact, if you put really tracker in any of the comments, we'll know and we'll just get it to you. So if you put tracker in the comments, we will send you the one sheet tracker and give you some little directions on how to use it. So if that's interesting to you, go do that. And when you're, I think that's all I want to say about that, anchoring it in time. So the last and final strategy that is going to bring us probably closer to 20 minutes is break it down into little things. So make things small and doable, especially when you've been putting them off. So in the habit tracker, I'm going to start there and then go back to time. In the habit tracker, I would keep, like, let's say that I've been meaning to take my supplements for years and I keep buying more, but I never take them. So instead of putting take supplements as the habit I'm tracking, I would literally at the beginning write down every supplement on a line. And as I put the supplement in my mouth and swallow it, I would then check that one off. So I'm just training myself what they look like, what they feel like, what they're called as I'm taking them. And I'm giving myself that hit of like, I did this with each one, right? So it's getting really exciting for me. And then probably after a week or two of that, I'd be like, okay, well, now there's supplements that I take in the morning and the evening. So I wouldn't want to just still do one entry. Then I wouldn't be able to check it off in the morning and I might forget about it by evening, but I could do morning supplements and evening supplements, or morning, midday, and evening, depending on how it breaks down for you. And then I can make it simpler. So break it down at the beginning as far as you need it to go, especially with habits. Okay. Then with things that like need to go in your calendar, again, what I would do is I would like put make appointment. Let's say we need to make a doctor's appointment that we've been just avoiding up the wazoo. So I would put a half an hour in my calendar to make the doctor's appointment. But that probably has been something I've thought about doing for weeks, if not months, if not years sometimes. And so in order to get it done, what I want to do when I sit down and do my Friday planning is I want to like literally go through step by step what needs to happen to get it done. So again, super small. I need to find the phone number. I need to figure out how to log in. So if I broke that down, it's like I need to reset my password and then I need to log in. And then I'm going to make a cup of tea so I'm a little bit more relaxed. And then I'm going to sit down with the phone at a time when I know I won't be interrupted. And I'm going to make the appointment and I'm going to write the appointment down. So see how each one of those steps, it's like it's whole and I can follow it without having to make any more choices. All right. So I hope these 5 things help. And just to wrap them up, the 5 things were go slowly, allow yourself, remember it's a journey. Spend time believing that health makes a difference. Spend time learning how to trust yourself. Anchor even health things, anchor all things, but anchor health things in time. And break down everything into little things that are feeling really hard. And I hope that this helps you make some time for your health and for just creating the most vibrant version of you, because that's what we need. That's what you need. That's what your family needs. That's what the world needs. I will see you real soon.